Three men and a mic and a lady. Thanksgiving edition. Long weekend. Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Testing. One, two, testing. Can you hear me?
Ouch.
Oh, no, I want to.
Oh, okay.
Welcome to the Combat Radio Network. This is Three Men and a Microphone, recorded inside the Iron Mike Studio, located in the Military Exchange on Route 332 in Canandaigua. Three Men and a Microphone is an opinion show based on the ins and outs, the news, politics, and scuttlebutt about town and the city of Canandaigua. Beautiful, historical Canandaigua, New York, where the hops grow higher, the grapes grow sweeter, and the sun always shines. In conjunction with 1310 AM, Canandaigua. Three men and a microphone, all the way from Rochester to Geneva, New York. I am your host, Corporal Tim Thornton, and this is Three Men and a Microphone. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Honey, how many times do I have to move your old army bag? It's taking up too much room in the closet.
It's a duffel bag. It's full of my old uniforms.
Iron Mike's buys, sells, and trades. Iron Mike's Military Exchange, located in Canandaigua, New York, militaryexchange.co.
Canandaigua, 1310 AM, three men, a microphone, and a lady, here with Corporal Tim Thornton, Canandaigua 2020 Zone, Mike Yarger, and myself, Tina Bloom. So throwing it over to Mike for some news.
And we're coming to you from beautiful, historic Canandaigua, where the snow falls softly, the lights glow brightly, and music fills the air. And I want to start off this program with, you all know Paul Harvey, right?
Yes.
Okay, legend in radio. And he used to do a program called The Rest of the Story.
Love The Rest of the Story.
Right? So I want to start out with a Rest of the Story story. I'm going to take you all the way back to 1891, where we meet Captain Joseph McPhee. And Captain McPhee was very distraught because there were so many poor individuals in the San Francisco area who were going hungry day in and day out. So during the holiday season, he resolved to provide a free Christmas dinner for 1,000 people. He only had one major hurdle to overcome, funding the project. So he lay awake at night, worrying, thinking, and praying about how he could find the funds to fulfill his commitment. As he pondered the issue, he thought back his days as a sailor, and how when his ship arrived in Liverpool, England, all the sailors would get paid, and then they'd get shore leave. And as they walked along the docks, they came to a cast iron kettle. And that cast iron kettle was called Simpson's Pot. And the passersby would throw in a coin or two to help the poor. So the next day, Captain McPhee placed a similar pot at the Oakland Ferry Landing at the foot of Market Street in San Francisco. And beside the pot, he placed a sign that read, "Keep the pot boiling." He soon had the money that he needed to properly feed the 1,000 people that Christmas. And when we come back, we'll tell you the rest of the story.
That's a good teaser. I think I see where it's going, and I love it.
I do.
Let's see if we're right.
Stone soup.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's where my head was.
Don't forget, we also have Armin Marinetti with us today, too.
Right. Okay.
Hello.
So, now that we're back, Today, in the United States, the Salvation Army assists more than 4.5 million people during the holiday season. Captain McPhee's kettle idea launched a tradition that spread throughout the U.S. and around the world. That red kettle that we all contribute to when we're going in and out of the stores during the holiday season go to contribute to the Salvation Army. And Captain McPhee was not a captain in the Navy. He was a captain in the Salvation Army.
Wow.
And now you know the rest of the story.
The rest of the story.
Good story.
Nice. Good
job.
That
is tremendous. Yeah. Now, do we know where the ringing bell came into play?
I don't know where the ringing bell came into play. I can tell you, though, that last year, locally, they raised $114,000 in the Red Kettle campaign, and that was a new record for the Salvation Army. And 2 days before, they were at about $95,000 and hadn't hit their goal of $100,000. And in those 2 days, they raised enough for $114,000.
Wow.
So that speaks very well to the generosity of our community.
And generosity, I'm sorry, I was just saying the generosity of folks who want to volunteer their time to ring the bell and man the kettle for a certain amount of time. I know the Salvation Army is always looking for families, individuals, couples. If you're a group or you belong to an organization and you want to look for ways to give back this holiday season, contact the Salvation Army because they're always looking for bell ringers.
Or you can go onto the Canandaigua 2020 website, and we've actually put a link there for the Salvation Army. You can click on that and you can schedule a time to ring the bell.
Perfect. I love it.
Yep.
Have you, any of you ever done that?
I have.
I have.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
You've done it?
Yep.
Where you rang the bell?
Yep.
Yep.
And go ahead.
I was just going to say, I would bring this little radio and I'd play Christmas music and you can dress in a Santa hat. I mean, you can do whatever. You can have a lot of fun with it. And
right.
It's enjoyable. You meet a lot of neat people.
Yep. Many years ago, Victor Farmington Rotary would go and do the bell at Wade's up in the corner of 332 and 96 there. And I brought my youngest son when he was probably all 10 years old, and he rang the bell with me. So we stood out there in front of Wade's, and it was a good experience.
And a great way to teach children about giving back, right?
Yep.
Or discipline.
Yep.
The discipline it takes to walk out of that store and ignore all of that and go right by them without giving up your money, which I practice every year. No, that's not true. The kettle is the one thing that does get me coming out of this store. The register thing, you know, would you like to add another dollar to McDonald's? I'm not into that.
I'll do the roundup thing. They'll say, would you round up your
right.
your purchase? Like at Wegmans, they're doing that most recently. And I'll do that because I'm not going to know the difference, you know, between, you know, $20.30 and $21.
But you feel bad when it's $14.98 and you're only donating your 2 cents.
Absolutely, I'll do that. Yeah.
Nah, they don't get any of my money, but the kettle gets my money.
Okay.
Not, and they're not the only ones that get my money at Christmas time, but the kettle does. That other stuff, not so much. But everybody, to each their own, right?
Yeah, and it's more palatable, I think, that the Red Kettle campaign, because you're looking for loose change. You're not asking somebody, hey, give me a dollar, give me 10, give me 20. There's no minimum. It's whatever you have in your pocket. Just toss it in there. It's easy.
Right, so you want to take the next story, Tina?
Absolutely. I want to go back to this really sad case of the missing person, Monica Zello, age 29, from Naples. Canandaigua police are still looking for her. She went missing November 18th about 1 a.m., and she was last seen on Beeman Street in Canandaigua. She drives a 2016 Hyundai Santa Fe. It's gray, but they still have been unable to find this woman. From what I've been able to ascertain, she's a mother. She has a family. She has a job, and she just went missing, so kind of scary.
Yeah, and you know, we're praying that there's a good outcome in this, and I know a lot of people are out looking for her.
Absolutely. So any tips, questions, thoughts, call 911, contact the Canandaigua Police Department. But again, to Mike's point, thoughts and prayers for Monica Zello and her family.
Absolutely. I've been praying for her. I really hope this has some kind of decent outcome.
And this time of year, I think it hits home a little more as well. I mean, we're celebrating now. It's Thanksgiving weekend. We're coming up on Christmas and other holidays. And for most people, it's joyful. It's exciting. You get to see family and friends you haven't seen in a long time. But for a lot of people, I think this is the most difficult time of year as well. And I just want to remind folks in the community, there are a couple support groups, some specific to suicide, folks that have lost family members or friends to suicide. There's the Survivors of Suicide Support Group that meet at the Wood Library the first and third Monday of each month at 6 p.m. And there's also a Journey Through Loss support group, Wednesdays, 7 p.m. at Life Spring Church. So I think this time you think of memories and how times used to be with family. Some of those family members and loved ones aren't with us anymore, and it can be a difficult period of time to get through. There are people out there that want to help you, that are going through exactly what you're going through and want to be there for you. So look into some of that.
You know, think about suicide, that apparently someone did a study, or they asked a lot of people that are survivors of suicide, and they've said, the second I did it, I knew I made a mistake. The second I did it. Because up till then, I think you're still kind of, I don't know, maybe we don't fully appreciate.
These are people that made attempts.
That made attempts, mm-hmm. and at that point, they realized that it was a mistake. They wished they hadn't done it, but they did it. And then, of course, you know, however you miss or something went wrong, which is terrific, that you survived it. But my point is, they all regretted it immediately. So whenever I meet someone who I feel is going down that path, I usually tell them that so that they know.
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing I tell them, and I have customers, I can see where they suffer. And I tell them, I go, you know, they'll make comments. And I lost a customer once, so that's why I'm hyper aware. I tell them, I go, you know, everybody loves you. We like you. You can come in here anytime and just hang out and chit chat with the other guys. Don't think that we don't care. And I've caught myself having to say that.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever watched the movie with Jimmy Stewart, It's a Wonderful Life?
It's my favorite Christmas movie.
Right.
At this time of year, it's a good watch. You know, it gives you some reassurance.
Absolutely. And a lot of local ties, too. They mentioned Buffalo, Rochester, Seneca Falls.
That's right.
And supposedly, if it's a true story, you might be able to verify this. A barber that passed away from Seneca Falls says that, is it Capra, was the director of that movie?
Right.
He says that he was in his barber shop getting a haircut about 12 months before that movie came out. And it's based on a thought that he shared with the barber. The barber has since passed away. He was in his 90s when he passed away. But the barber claims that Capra shared his idea about this movie well before it was released.
Wow.
So, that's cool.
So yeah. The town in the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, was Bedford Falls.
That's
and
correct.
The story is supposedly it's modeled after Seneca Falls.
That's right. And Seneca Falls every year puts on a Wonderful Life
festival.
Correct.
Love that movie. Yeah. Absolutely love that movie.
Good movie.
Before we move off the topic, I want to mention that Canandaigua is planning to host a substance abuse forum, and that's going to be Monday, November 27th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Canandaigua Middle School in the chorus room. And Canandaigua Police Chief Stephen Hedworth plans to be there. Ontario County Deputy and Coroner Kevin Henderson will be there. And Lynn Seward from FLACRA. And at the end of this forum, they're also going to be offering free Narcon training. And if you're interested in attending that, you can call the partnership at 396-4554. That's 396-4554.
So, yeah, important that we don't underestimate there are people struggling every day in our community, whether from loss or addiction, that need help. And I think the overarching message of this is that there are people in our community that are here for you, that want to help you, and you're not alone. So I think we're doing everything we can. We're stepping up to try to address the issue in our community.
Yeah.
So
great. I think there's a story out there where someone waited too long or they hesitated to call the police.
Right.
And you know, they should be reminded that under the Good Samaritan law, if you call the police right away, even though you're a user and you are involved, you're not going to get charged.
Right.
And so they can use the Narcan.
Right. So our holiday shopping season is now in full swing. Black Friday was yesterday, November 24th. Small Business Saturday is today. Cyber Monday is coming up November 27th. And Julie Sperano, a cashier from Wegmans, she's been there for 3 years. She took time out of her day to go on Canandaigua 2020 and express her gratitude for the kind and generous people that she meets every day as a cashier at Wegmans. She says one person offered to get her a coffee, another person offered to go to the bakery and, you know, bring her a snack from the bakery. And she says, you know, it's just so wonderful. And she strikes me as a very wonderful person.
That made me think when I read that, that I need to do more for the support staff and the people working the holidays. We get so stressed when we're out shopping. Imagine, you know, all the people that are working there putting up with us.
Right.
What can we do to make their lives a little easier? I know when I travel a lot, I've seen guys when they're at the terminal and they're talking to the gate agent, they're getting their flights changed, people are angry, they'll just pull out a few Hershey's Kisses or something and give it to the gate
agent.
What
a great idea.
Little things like that. So yeah, I don't think of it myself, but I wish I was a little more thoughtful. So I'm going to, you know.
You got to be careful though when you reach out and say, here, let me give you a kiss, right?
You know? Yeah, going back to what we were talking about on Civil War Radio, these days that might be taken in the wrong context. But like I said, I don't think you can ever go wrong when your heart's in the right place and you're trying to be courteous.
I met a counselor like that. Long story short, we were angry, and we were going to go in there and just slay this guy like a dragon. And I just never saw anybody do it. He pushed forward this thing of, like, chocolate chip cookies, you know, like in the bag, mm-hmm. you know, like you buy at the store, not even homemade or anything. He goes, you want a cookie? Right in the middle of I went, sure, okay. Next thing you know, I'm eating
Softens
a cookie. I don't remember it turning into the big blow up that I expected to have.
It's just a little bit of kindness can change any interaction, in my opinion.
Food.
Sure, that helps.
That works for some.
I'm going to start carrying cookies, so when I open the door for Tim.
Oh, that's right. He won't get angry.
And he goes, take a swing at you.
That's right. Bait him with a cookie.
Even Shotzi the dog growls at people if they get too close to the door, you know, coming in behind you. She just turns and goes,
oh,
like
boy.
That.
You got her trained.
Well, she did it on her own, but she just don't want you sneaking in too fast, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, so our next story is also from the Heart, and it's about Marty Galbraith. He's in Farmington, and he's offering to donate venison to families in need.
I saw that.
He showed a picture of the venison, and
tons
it looks
it.
Like it's professionally prepared.
And packaged.
Right, and packaged. And I was like, are you serious? And he says, anybody who's in need, just give me a call. Get in touch with me, and I'll get you steaks. I'll get you ground venison, whatever it is you want. If I've got it, you're welcome to it.
So there was something on there that really struck me. There was somebody that commented they were part of a family or knew a family from out of the area, not too far out of the area, maybe Waterloo, but not Canandaigua or Ontario County. And this guy said, nope, absolutely, private message me. I'm going to help you. I'm going to take care of you. And if everybody just gave a little bit of something,
right?
Imagine how much better the world could be. And believe me, I realize this is not a utopian society, nor should it be. But if you can do something to help out your fellow man, that's tremendous. Another thing that I learned about this, though, was there was somebody that had talked about selling venison
right.
on 2020. Did you know it's illegal in the state of New York to sell venison or game like that you've hunted yourself? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Why? Do we know?
The government doesn't get a cut of it. They're not getting paid.
Well, I mean, if you're selling in the state, aren't you responsible for paying sales tax on it? Maybe Armin can talk to that a little more knowledgeably, being an accountant, but...
I mean,
You're supposed to have an authority to collect sales tax if you're in the retail business. Maybe that's probably why they outlawed it, as opposed to trying to give hunters a certificate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it's easier to not have to police it at all.
And I also wonder if it was a food safety issue. So if you just have, you know, John Smith out there hunting deer, packaging it himself, processing it himself, there's no control from the FDA or anyone else to,
Do you remember the Irondequoit Deer Project?
Yeah, and
They were allowing hunters into Irondequoit Park to hunt the deer.
Durandysman.
Oh, Durandysman Park, right,
yeah.
Exactly, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I
No, I knew what
it.
You meant. I couldn't think of the name.
But, yeah, I grew up there. Anyways, so, but, and it was working, and homeless people were getting deer meat, and then somebody found a hair in the meat, and they complained. So the guy who got the free meat actually complained, probably, maybe not, but they shut the whole project down. So more people go hungry, deers get, jump in front of cars, and, you know, you can't do enough good because of all the regulations on top of us.
Sure, but they can't regulate if you're giving it away, and that's what this guy's doing, which is awesome.
Right.
Yeah, right. That's a great thing. He's good that he did that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we have some political news, right, Tina?
We do. So on Monday, this past Monday, Silvio Palermo announced that he's going to be running for Ontario County Sheriff. He made his official announcement at the Inn on the Lake. And he has a few folks also that are planning on running but haven't made their formal announcements or haven't had their launches. One being Bristol Supervisor Bob Green, and the other being Ontario County Sheriff's Office Deputy and Coroner Kevin Henderson. I was at the launch for Silvio. He had a huge amount of people there. He's got a pretty big backing, a lot of momentum, so it'll be exciting to see how this race shakes out. Last week, we talked about Phil Pavero being the longest-serving sheriff in New York State. I think it's 27 years when he ends his tenure in 2018. So Sheriff Pavero's served our community very well, and now we have a few people interested in going after that seat about a year early. So it's definitely going to be something for us to follow.
Now, did you happen to mention to Silvio that there's some guys with some debate experience that might be interested in?
I can certainly do that when the time comes. We'll see if we can make that happen. But Mr. Palermo does. He has a great breadth of knowledge and experience, starting with the Ontario County Sheriff's Office. He was with the Penn Yan Police Department and Canandaigua Police Department for a period of time, and then spent the majority of his time at the Gates Police Department. Additionally, he has been with the town of Victor as a councilman and deputy supervisor. So a lot of experience there. Really good guy.
I think he has like 20 years of experience in law enforcement.
Yeah, if not more, both civilly with the town and out with Gates. So really exciting.
Right. No, he seems like he's going to be a strong candidate.
I agree, and I'm excited to see how this works out for him. I think he's the guy for the job personally, but we'll see what Mr. Green and Mr. Henderson come out with as the race progresses. We have a whole year, so here we go.
Okay.
I reached out to Mr. Palermo, and I asked him about being on a show to announce more about his candidacy, and he said that he would, I believe, in 2 weeks.
Okay.
But I'm also going to reach out publicly and ask that Mr. Henderson and
Mr. Green
also come on the show.
They'll all have equal opportunity.
Give their platform.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So to learn more about Silvio Palermo, you can visit silviopalermoforsheriff.com. He's got a website set up. All of his information is there. I'm not sure if it were Bob Green or Kevin Henderson said that they were in the process of setting up a website, but they are currently, you know, launching their campaigns, although I don't think they're as far ahead as Silvio. More to come.
Yeah. Okay. So our next story has to do with Jan Sexton, and she sent me a note. She wanted to know if it would be okay to promote her new Facebook group on my group. And I said, oh, what's that going to be? She says, well, I set up one called Canandaigua Garage Sale. And I'm thinking to myself, Canandaigua Garage Sale? We already have all these buying, selling sites on Facebook about Canandaigua buying and selling. Do we really need another one? And she says, well, a lot of them lack focus. A lot of them allow businesses to advertise on them, and that's not the kind of thing. I want mine to be more focused. I thought, well, okay. So I let her promote it on Canandaigua 2020. But it reminded me of a story that gets brought up every year during the holidays, sometimes at these Thanksgiving meals, where we were driving in a car, and all my brothers and sisters were in the car with my parents and me, and we drove by a sign that said garage sale, and I looked quickly, and I thought it said garbage sale, and I said out loud, why would somebody want to sell their garbage? Well, the entire car erupted in laughter, and I couldn't figure out why, and then my mother corrected me and said, no, it wasn't garbage, it was garage.
But you may have been onto something, because how often do we drive by, you know, these homes that have these quote-unquote garage sales, and it's trash. And I'm not a garage sale person, but there are some people that religiously will
do
this. So they'll go out first thing, Thursday, Friday, whenever these sales start. Early in the morning, you'll see cars parked on the side of the road hours before they even open.
We don't know anybody like that, do we?
No. I mean, estate sales? Who does that? It's crazy enough to do that.
Well, you just jump from garage to estate.
I know.
Okay, is there a big difference, Tim? Really?
Well, the estate... Well, okay, let's start with the garage.
Garage.
The garage sale, of course, is run by, you know, basically a civilian. They're not professional, right? It's their own deal. But it's like a private sale. And I've been noticing that some of the best estate sales, if you had somehow knew that this guy a month earlier was going to have his own private sale or his own garage sale, that's when you got a first shot at the really good stuff prior to the estate sale. So you want to get into the garage sale. They don't advertise as much, you know, like per item. An estate sale will have pictures of everything. So, you know, in a word description, garage sales, you know, we got a garage sale and we have these categories.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And I've been to garage sales where, honestly, I went to one just this year and the guy brought out some canning jars. They're modern, like you just bought them.
Okay. Like, well,
this is pretty much what we got right now, but, you know, I figure in a couple hours. And I go, how long have you been doing the garage sale? Oh, about 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And then, of course, the business side of me really doesn't like when a guy throws out a garage sale, and they do it, like, once a month all summer long or once a weekend, which there's some city and town regulations against that. They're not paying sales tax, and what they've really done is create a business. Mm-hmm. You know, people in the neighborhood don't want that many cars blocking the streets every week.
It's an eyesore.
So it's a problem. But if you're a picker, you got to pick everything. Everything. Nothing is off the table except Craigslist. Don't go there at 3 in the morning because they want you to be there at 3 in the morning to their barn to pick something or work for them. It's murder. Just don't go. Never, ever trust Craigslist at 3 in the morning in the middle of the night to go pick something. More people have been murdered from that than it's insane. And I always question, I go, why would you go at 3 in the morning? Really?
No common sense.
Don't go.
So there's your shopping tips for the day.
Don't go to somebody's house off Craigslist at 3 in the morning.
Craigslist is great, just not 3 in the morning.
If you want some real treasures, you have to come here to Iron Mike's on Route 332 because you're going to see good merchandise here.
That's right. I don't pick, you know, with an untrained eye.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I'm dragging in some of the best stuff from everywhere. I go to Buffalo, Syracuse, down south, everything. And I do it. I love it. I love, and this is not a commercial, I pick really cool stuff and drag it in. Right now, you got an Indian, a 6-foot-tall wooden carved Indian, and a 4-foot punch, cigar punch. You're not even going to see that one. And the punch is actually signed. So it's fun. It is fun to pick, and it's fun to catch good deals.
That's awesome.
Okay, who's anxious to see Santa?
Oh, I am.
Okay. Santa!
So today, okay, starting at 10 o'clock, they have another one at 11:30, another one at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and another one at 2:30, they have the Santa Train Excursion. And this is over in Shortsville at the LVRRHS Station Museum. And you're saying, what is LVRRHS? Well, that happens to be Lehigh Valley Railroad Historical Society. And they actually work with Lehigh Valley Railroad to run a train from Shortsville out with Santa on the train so the kids get a chance to meet Santa. The cost is $18 per person. Kids 2 and under, lap kids, are free. So that's something that you might consider doing.
You have to
meet them at 8 East High Street in Shortsville.
You know, I did that with the Rotary Club.
Did you?
I think it's the same place. The train comes through. It was in Ontario, New York, in Wayne County. And they go, you know, you're one of our newest members. Would you like to sit on the train with all the kids and Santa? And I go, well, yeah, sure, I guess I could do that. What do you want me to do? Oh, just supervise, be there. We'll meet you at the other end. All the old guys, you know, the ones that really run the place. And I go, oh.
Thinking they're being nice, right?
Thinking they're being nice, but I'm already suspicious, as I always am. I get on there, and as I get on there, they're handing out to, like, I don't know, 50 kids, 300 kids, kazoos. Every kid got a kazoo. They even had extra kazoos. And then from that stop to the next one, that kazoo noise, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
What is that? You know what I mean? Yeah. 300 of them. And there's Santa looking back at me going, oh, this sucks. Santa was just going, oh, my God.
Maybe we need to go back to the suicide prevention segment.
They never got me. After that year, I was like, oh, no, no, I'll meet you up the road, too.
I'm good.
I thought maybe you'd be, that people would think that you were Santa.
Oh, because Tim does have a long gray beard. So,
right.
Yeah, maybe Santa Claus.
Sure.
I think that's why you think
I'm Santa.
And for all those guys that are trying to grow beards and facial hair for November.
No shave November.
No shave November. That's right. I'm here with three guys with facial hair, but I think this is their standard MO. This is their standard look.
We sell beard and hair care products in here for beards, for softening, straightening, curing, and taking
really?
Care of your beard.
Wow.
Yep. It's called... create a green commercial. I'll have to dub it in. But we do.
Right here at Iron Mike's Military Exchange.
We do,
for
yeah.
332, Canandaigua.
Yeah. And you know, No Shave November started with I believe, a Vietnam pilot who refused to shave off his mustache. And from that point on, the Air Force has always allowed, you know, as far as I know, even my dad told me about this. You don't have to shave that mustache during November. So whatever you get away with, you know, in military regs, it's got to cut off at the corners of your mouth, can't touch the top of your lip, that kind of thing. But you can get away with it. Whatever you grow in the month of November, it's yours. You get to keep it until, you know.
Until the end of November.
December. Yeah.
And so that's what started No Shave November.
Yeah, I think it's kind of gotten out of hand. I heard there's some women hopping on the bandwagon of No Shave November. Not this girl, but no, I've heard there's some pretty upset guys out there. So, yeah, it's a thing.
I have a confession to make.
You don't shave?
I don't shave this time of year because I can't see that well in the morning because it's darker.
Mm.
Daylight savings time. So I just do the areas that are easy to do by touch.
How funny.
So...
I'll have to keep that excuse in mind.
That's right.
My wife is not a fan of facial hair.
See?
But I need it to keep my face warm in the winter months.
But don't you have it in the summertime, too?
Stop.
No.
No?
No, I have a mustache in the summer months.
It fits you well, Mike. It fits you
well.
What,
you don't have the goatee in the summer months?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't you have it all summer long?
Maybe.
Am I going crazy? Yeah.
No, usually I shave it in the summer months. We'll have to go back to the pictures that we've taken and see if I have one.
I like the little tiny beards that you guys have. They're cute.
Aww.
Yeah, now, Tim's beard
is
about 12 feet long.
I think that was a dig.
You could almost trip on Tim's beard.
To the point,
so
to the
long.
Point where he has a hair tie.
That's
in
right.
It.
He actually has a
You know what the mean guys say?
What?
The mean guys come in the store and they go, hey, Lou Albano.
Who's that?
He's a famous wrestling guy who wrestled
managed
Cyndi Lauper.
Oh. Yeah, yeah,
and he would tie his beard up in colored rubber bands
like
some kind of pirate. So they go, hey, Lou Albano, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
No discount for you. That's all I know.
Ouch.
And I know Tim, when he starts tripping over his beard, he just picks it up and tosses it over his shoulder so it's behind him so he doesn't have to worry about tripping on it.
It already gets in the way of everything.
You're like
sure
the Rapunzel of beards.
There you go.
Let down your beard.
Tim, let down your beard.
We'll see how much longer it goes. It's probably getting ready to be the end.
Okay, so we don't want to waste any energy here. But we had a story about a waste-to-energy incinerator project come up this week. And this is planned for the Seneca Army Depot in Romulus, which is about 10 miles south of Geneva. And the plan is to bring in approximately 2,640 tons of trash a day when it is fully operational. And the landfill over in that area, Seneca Meadows, is scheduled to close in 2025. So the communities in the Ontario County area need to think about what's our future as far as our trash. What are we going to do? And it turns out that the company that's behind this is Flom Management, owned by David Flom. And his company also owns about 900 acres of the 10,000 acres of the former Army Depot.
At a dollar an acre.
Yeah, I don't know what
something
the price
like that,
was.
Right? Did he get a really good deal on it? It was in the news. It was a great deal for him. Would have been an even greater deal had they shared it with all us, you know, deer hunters who would have bought 5 acres.
Yeah,
well, but I'm just jealous. That's
all. We'll do our research and get back to you on that. But what we did find out was the proposal calls for them having about 176 waste hauling trucks going back and forth every day. In addition to that, there's going to be about 62 trucks that would be hauling away ash from the site and hauling away metal and other non-burnable materials. They also have a rail spur that goes over there, and they're hoping to incorporate that so that they could bring in by rail about 30 cars per day, and that would actually replace some of the trucks that would have to go back and forth on the road.
So that's what he bought the acres for, to turn it, Seneca Army Depot, into a dump?
No, not into a dump, into an incinerator. Okay, and there's a big difference between the two, because the dump, the stuff gets put in the ground and it gets left there permanently.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes there's some breakdown and you get some methane gas off from that that you can then burn and convert into energy. But this takes pretty much every item and incinerates it at such a high temperature that there's basically nothing left.
So is there any pollution to the environment which would affect our white deer population?
Right. There would be some pollution to the environment, but this new technique is so clean that it would actually reduce the greenhouse gas that is created in the dumping of this. So you would actually be creating less greenhouse gas than if you were to put it into a landfill.
That sounds neat.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think there's some promise to the project. I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing how this develops. They're saying at the end that this incinerator would actually produce about 50 megawatts of electricity. And you say 50 megawatts, it doesn't mean anything to me. Okay, so 32,500 homes could be powered by these 50 megawatts. So that would be a significant impact.
But the people that live around there are now going to have potentially 100 dump trucks in and out of there daily?
Correct.
That's thrilling.
That's right? A pretty...
I mean, imagine you bought a house out there years ago to retire around a base that got closed down.
Right.
So now you don't have that.
Right.
And then you got this quiet little town with probably an average economy at best, but you're going to have the rumblings of garbage trucks going by your place all day.
But that land, ever since the Army base closed, Seneca Army Depot closed, has been zoned for industrial and commercial. So it could have been put to any type of use out there.
But it didn't. It went to garbage.
Well,
incinerating garbage.
It hasn't gone that far yet, but that's the plan.
It's pretty remote out there, too. I haven't been out there recently, but I don't recall a ton of homes. I mean, along the thoroughfare, you know, there are. But, I mean, it's pretty rural out there. So,
right. There's a museum out there in the Seneca Army Depot. There's the preserve of the white deer.
There's that cemetery now, the Veterans Cemetery, that's out there.
Oh, good. I'm telling you right now. I don't like it. I don't like I just don't like garbage on my old base with my deer, with my veteran cemetery in a small town. And maybe it's okay. Maybe it'll bring work, but it's not rubbing me as some kind of pro economy or ecological goodness. In fact, you know, when you say that it doesn't produce as much methane, well, you know what produces less methane? No dump at all.
But, you know, then we get to the larger issue, where do you put a dump? And I don't think there's ever a good answer to that. Wherever you end up putting it, there's going to be folks saying, hey, this is not the place for it. I mean, what are the decisions that need to be made and those criteria?
People need to recycle more and not just recycle by throwing in the blue bin, you know, repurpose.
Mm-hmm.
My whole life has been about repurposing things, giving it a second life. And honestly, the more junk you buy that's brought over from China, that junk just lasts. I have sneakers that didn't last exactly three pairs in a row, 3 months each. It's like the glue was timed. One pair actually came apart while I was on my daily walk. And my buddy said, didn't this just happen to you 3 months ago? I go, yeah. Well, what is that? So you're buying junk that doesn't last to throw it away. And where does it go? Fills up our country with landfills.
We are a consumer society, and that's something I think, I know I do, but we all need to get a little bit better at repurposing and recycling. But you're always going to be left with garbage. There's always going to be waste products that you can't reuse and recycle. So there needs to be a place for it to go. But yeah, I agree. You need to strike a balance.
Right. And I think we also have to think more about buying quality products like they sell here at Iron Mike's.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a shameless plug because, you know, really, people come in here once every 3 to 7 to 10 years because a pair of boots is going to last you 10 years, maybe 3 if you're really, really hard on it. But sneakers at Walmart are lasting me 3 months doing a little tiny 2-block walk 3 times a week.
You get what you pay for. And Armin made reference to the Made in America store here on Main Street in Canandaigua. Well, there's another place. All the stuff in there is made in the United States and a lot of it locally.
A lot of it locally.
You know, I mean, I'd love to plug this one. You know, we're selling cast iron skillets. The youngest skillet in the store is 50 years old.
That's so cool.
The oldest skillets are as old as the 1800s, 1700s. And on the average, they're all 100 years old. And then I usually go about 120. That's not the same skillet you're buying in a store,
right?
Or a modern store.
There's something to the saying, they don't make them like they used to.
And I have a story around that. Back in 1975, I was in high school. I was going to BOCES. I was taking the trade electricity course. And one of the requirements of the course was that you had to have steel-toed boots. So I went out, bought a pair of boots from Sears. In 1975, you know, I still have that same pair of boots, and I can still wear them. My shoe size is still the same. Everything else has changed. My shoe size is still the same, and I've replaced the bottoms, the soles, on these boots twice.
Wow.
And now the cobbler I used to take the boots to is no longer in business.
Oh, no.
So I don't know
is he a local
where I'm
going
to go next time I have to have a new sole put on.
I don't know if the guy's name is L.O. Tempio or it's Lou Tempio, but for decades, everybody takes their shoes to Lou Tempio or Lo Tempio in Fairport, and that guy will resole your shoes. He's still around. He still teaches the craft. He actually has, you know, people in his study that learn the craft, and he's still teaching it, and he's still doing it from his father.
Wow.
Fairport.
Wow. Yeah, there aren't a lot left. I don't know if Davison's does anything like that here in Canandaigua. I know in Honeoye Falls, when I used to live there, there was Opetisano's Bootery. And they were, I think they do things like that too. So you have to look and do some research, but hopefully you can find folks to repair those shoes.
Right.
Good.
So who's traveling back home this Saturday or Sunday Thanksgiving? Yeah?
This guy, me, got a call from my buddy. I said, hey. I go, you're not on Facebook anymore, are you? And he said, no, I've had enough. I'm not doing it anymore. And his was because of all the political correctness. He goes, I can't win this thing because it's not your friends that know you that say, well, why are you kidding or are you joking or is this you know, you, it's your friends' friends' friends from some other place in some other state that don't know you. And then they try to call you out on it and start an argument. So he quit Facebook. Go to his wife's account and you can get a hold of him. Or you can just pick up the phone and call him, right? Well, we're going to meet up this week in Niagara Falls in Canada. He's going to drive all the way over from Michigan. We're going to, me and Kim are going to go up and hang out with Big Will and Debbie. And we're going to have dinner in Niagara Falls on the Canadian side. And I'm very, very excited about that. Little things don't really get me very happy, but seeing an old buddy from the Marine Corps hanging out, going to a new spot and enjoying that camaraderie and that dinner and having the wife and everything, it's perfect. Absolutely makes me very happy.
Now, don't get upset if they hold the door for you, Tim.
Oh, no, I know.
Big Will would never do that. We don't do that.
No, I'm talking the Canadians.
So the good news there, though, is AAA says gas prices are down just in time for Thanksgiving travel. So the national average is down 2 cents a gallon from last week at $2.54. The state average is down a penny to $2.69. And 1 year ago, the national average was $2.14, and the state average was $2.37. So higher than last year, but down from what they have been. So if you are traveling by car, not a bad deal.
Right. And if you are traveling by car, and if you're going down Route 21 and crossing 488 in Chapin, be extremely careful. Over the last few days, there's been two serious accidents at that intersection. So I don't know what it is. Some people are saying it's because of the way the sun sets, because both of these accidents have happened late in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
The way the sun sets, it's in the driver's eyes or whatever.
The road travels west.
Yeah. Well, north, south, east, and west, right?
Right.
Because 21's crossing 488, and the other road that comes into that is Shut Road. So that's the intersection. It's in Chapin. And you just need to be a little cautious as you go through that intersection.
I wonder if that's one of those intersections where if somebody's crossing over, they just don't even stop. They just right through.
Like
they never even, like they don't even see the stoplight.
Yeah, like Shortsville Road and County Road 28. That's a big intersection. They've been a lot of fatal accidents there. Just the past couple of years there have. So,
right.
Yeah. Be careful, everybody. Make sure you're traveling safely and paying attention. Look out for the other guy.
Right. Another story we've seen this week is George the Cat was returned home. And this is something, I mean, we have a lot of situations where dogs go missing, cats go missing. And I'm thinking to myself, isn't there some kind of like dog tracker thing that you could put on their collar and, you know, be able to find out where your dog is without notifying the entire city of Canandaigua and saying, you know, be on the lookout for my dog? And apparently there are some things like that, but some of them are Bluetooth enabled, and the range of the Bluetooth is only about 100 feet, so the pet has to be within 100 feet for you to read that. Or they've got other ones that are GPS enabled, but they're much more expensive, over $100.
Dog tags. My wife. She doesn't. She's a little girl with a little voice. Doesn't like to. You have to. You know, she doesn't raise her voice. She's too almost talks too quiet. She will chew you out if she has to rescue your dog, because people bring in her area where she has her shop, Kim Shaggy Chic Pet Spa. They bring the lost dogs and stuff and cats to her. She's like a holding point. And then she gets on Facebook and says, "I got this dog," describes it. But almost every time that dog or cat does not have dog tags.
You guys know what I did last week?
Dog tags. That's the answer.
Okay. All right. Guess what I did last week?
What'd you do?
I went out and I adopted a kitten.
Really?
Congratulations.
I adopted a kitten from the Ontario County Humane Society. So a shout out to Bill, Linda, Laura, and the team there. They were phenomenal. I was very indecisive. I got a 4-month-old kitty. I named her Mia because she was missing in action the first 3 days I had her. So
uh-oh.
I couldn't find her.
Mia.
Yeah, and she she's currently, you know, getting her spay like all responsible pet owners should be at Canandaigua Veterinary. So a great, great group of folks there. So big thank you and shout out to Dr. Smith, Lori, Sharon, Jess, Mike, the whole team out there. We're really blessed to have a lot of animal-friendly places. You want to take your pets to either be adopted, to be cared for, to be groomed. Canandaigua is the place. Paws on Main, Francine Rosenberg out there does a super, super job. So lots of good pet places. But yeah, Tina now is a cat. I'm a cat lady, you guys.
Well, congratulations on the new addition to your family.
I know.
Do you have a cardboard box?
For what?
They love it.
They just like cardboard.
Just to play?
My cat sits on a cardboard box and loves it. She's got the cat tree. She sits by me. She's a very loyal cat. Sits by me every night. Waits for me when I come into the door. But in between, there's this Xerox paper box. And that's what she likes to sit on. And so we just leave it there because that's her little throne.
Well, right now I don't have to worry about that because she doesn't venture out from under the bed. But when she does, I'll go looking for a box. How's that?
No, you bring the box, and then she'll start venturing out and go to the box. And, you know, they kind of it's a comforting thing,
You're
guess,
like the
for
cat
them.
Whisperer, Mike.
No, that's not me. I actually have allergies to cats, so I have to avoid the cats.
Okay.
But, no, this is what I've heard. It's that, you know, they like to have themselves surrounded by walls so that they're touching them and they feel comforted by that. So,
all right, perfect. You know, I will make
that's
do.
A little hint.
Because heaven knows that UPS man is stopping at my house every day with my Amazon packages, so I have plenty of boxes. No shortage.
So you want to give a little Thanksgiving benediction?
A Thanksgiving benediction.
No pressure.
Well, just, you know, enjoy Thanksgiving, see you, farewell, amen.
What are you guys
Hallelujah,
most thankful
something.
For?
Well, that's
all right,
a good
go.
Question, right? What are you most thankful for?
Yeah.
And we have a tradition where we go around in our house and we say grace and then we say what it is that we're thankful for. And my mother always had the F's, the food, the family, the fun.
The friends.
Every F that you could think of. My mother kept adding new ones
Hopefully
every year.
Hopefully not four-letter ones.
So, Armin?
I agree. I think family and friends is probably the thing that I'm most thankful for and a chance to go visit with them. So, it's funny. It's F's as well. We're going to Fairport. Isn't that funny how that's where I have two sisters that live in Fairport. My youngest sister will come in from New York City. And my dad's still with us, thank God. He's 88 years old. So, we'll get together and try to enjoy each other's company.
Tina?
That's incredible. You know, to piggyback, definitely family and friends. I have two nephews, 4 and 8, and they are just my world. So super thankful for them, but also thankful for the opportunities I've had this past year politically. I've gotten to know folks in the community. I got to know you guys here on the radio show, and here I am. So it's kind of opened up my world and really solidified the fact that I've settled and stayed in the right area here in Canandaigua. So I'm thankful for this community hugely, but of course, family and friends, having a roof over my head, having a job, all those things are super important, super blessed. What about you, Tim?
Oh, it's so tough because, you know, I am happy to acquire things and I'm happy to have stuff. I can't tell you, from being a grunt in the military who's literally lived for 45 days in the woods, you know, and 4 years to 11 years without a roof over the top of my head constantly, not a shower, not a... living under the elements and, you know, having to survive it. Not like a homeless person, but you know, barely a step above that. But what it really comes down to isn't things. It's just this ability to be free, to be able to choose how I'm going to spend the weekend, who I'm going to spend it with, the opportunity to be able to reach out to those people in life and good health.
I think we all take that for granted. I mean,
so I guess Yeah, it's all about the F's, freedom.
And I think that's where true happiness resides. I mean, you always, always have something to be thankful for. You could be having, you know, the crummiest day, but there's always something that you can be thankful for and a blessing. So I think we all need to be more cognizant of that and think of that. I think we'd be a happier group of people if we did.
Well,
Amen.
Allow me to quote. This is something I found. This is a wood-carved Mannlicher wood Russian trench art, 1945, and it's a carved statue of a rifle butts out of a rifle buttstock I believe by a Russian, and this is Tolstoy, the Russian writer. And so Tolstoy said, if you want to be happy, be happy.
It's a choice. Certainly. Certainly. So everybody, have a happy Thanksgiving. Travel safe. Enjoy time with your family and friends. And thanks for sharing a little bit of it with us.
Thank you. And thank you, all of you, for doing our show and being a part of this, this thing that's ours.
Right.
Absolutely. It's fun.
Thank you.
Well, everybody, enjoy your Thanksgiving. Be safe.
Marine veteran is grateful he survived Thanksgiving Day 1968. John Moore will forever remember Thanksgiving Day 1968. It has nothing to do with turkey and stuffing, but rather with a traumatic life-threatening experience. A Marine serving in Vietnam, Moore was on a patrol to knock out an enemy mortar position. When he and his fellow soldiers came under a barrage of mortar fire, one of the mortars landed close, very close. The shrapnel hit me and threw me over on my side, said Moore. All 10 of us in the patrol were hit. I had shrapnel in my elbow and leg. I was terrified. Moore, who is now 67, was alive, but he was bleeding and in great pain as he and others were loaded onto helicopters for evacuation. I never stopped bleeding until I hit the operating room, he said. Moore, who also suffered hearing loss, lost part of his elbow and has shrapnel in his body to this very day. After his condition was stabilized, Moore was flown to a naval hospital in Japan for further treatment and then to a hospital in the United States where he remained for 3 more months of care. Later, after recovering sufficiently to work in a non-combat capacity, he remained in the Marines until receiving an early honorable discharge as a corporal in March of 1970. Moore's path to the Marines and Vietnam began after his youthful years in Milton, Indiana, and a brief stint in junior college. Unsatisfied with the college experience and looking for something new, Moore joined the Marines, completed training, and arrived in Vietnam in August of 1968. He soon found himself in combat, often lugging 8 grenades and 7 canteens of water, in addition to ammunition and other supplies. I learned there are so many ways to get killed, he said, reflecting on his own close brush with death. Moore, who moved to Tucson in 1970, worked on ranches and in other jobs before starting work with Pima Animal Control in 1983. He worked there for 27 years before retiring in 2010. Moore and his wife Susan have 2 grown daughters. One of them, Katie Moore, calls her father the most compassionate, smartest, hardworking individual I have ever had the pleasure of knowing. In nominating him for recognition in the Stars series of stories about veterans, she said, I truly believe that a veteran, a man, a father, as wonderful and strong as John Moore, should be recognized for the sacrifices he made for his country and the impact he has made on all of the lives he has touched. There is an old quote associated with the military that goes, all gave some gave all. My father gave some of his body and all of his heart. He served with honor.
Kim Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa, a natural choice in pet grooming, located at 1010 South Clinton Avenue in Rochester. Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa is neatly nestled in the south wedge between the India House and Salvatore's Pizza. Kim Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa, your premier full-service pet salon. Our courteous and professional staff has served pets in the Rochester area for the past 16 years. Come visit our salon and let us pamper your pet. Kim Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa is a full-service grooming salon dedicated to quality grooming services in a low-stress environment using all-natural products. Kim is very knowledgeable and provides a warm, friendly grooming environment. Kim Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa offers many grooming services such as full-service bath, full-service haircut pedicures, nail filing, facials, flea bath, toothbrushing, shed-less packages, and specialty shampoos mini spa. Call for a free quote at 585-355-4761. Visit our website and Facebook page, Kim Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa.
Merry Christmas! This is Santa Claus, and you have reached my personal hotline. We have been very busy making making all of those toys to deliver on Christmas morning. And I want you to know that your family loves you very much. And so do I. So be good, and don't forget to always listen to your parents. When you hear the tone, please leave me your Christmas gift wishes and holiday cheer. And remember, kids, I know who's been naughty and nice. Merry Christmas, and I'll see you soon!
Call 319-527-2680. This Christmas special was brought to you by the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Tune in every Saturday morning, 8 to 10 a.m., for three men and a microphone and a lady. Hear all about local news, politics, fishing report, and sports, as well as all the talk about town and the scuttlebutt in the city. To keep up on the show, stay connected and visit us on Facebook at Canandaigua 1310, Three Men and a Microphone. Presented each week, Saturday 8 to 10 a.m. and Sunday afternoons at 2 p.m. Sponsored by the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. And to catch up on past episodes, go to IronMikesMX.com or WOKR 1310.